Right here. Okay. That's moving, isn't it? Right. Laura has told us a great deal about the history of Chesning and the beginning of the library. We would like to hear you tell us a little more about our Chesning Public Library.
Well, I think we should begin with the new library itself. Some facts about it. In case in posterity something ever happens to it or we ever move out of it. The village donated property for this new library on the corner of Canal and Broad Street, which is right across the east side of the bridge, and the southeast corner of Cole Park. The Pete family provided the money for building. The contractor was Ray Wilson, Incorporated, who was he was a contractor and builder who was in town at that time, and the committee chose him for the contractor. The building is 90 feet wide, facing Broad Street, and 40 feet deep, made of brick veneer on the front and cement block. It was at first divided into two parts. The east 64 feet is where the library was housed, and the west 26 feet, the council room.
Well, Liz, I'd like to interrupt you here. Wasn't there a stipulation made as to the use of the council room by the Pete family when they made this library? I understood that the council asked that the library be made this much larger, and Pete's agreed to it with the understanding that if the library ever needed the extra space, the library should have preference of it. Do you remember
that? I can't remember that, Helen. No. That sounds logical, and it may be that they built it that much larger for that purpose. And, of course, eventually it was all used by the library. But at the time, they didn't need that much room.
Well, I think that records will show that Pete's never intended to put the extra 26 feet? They never intended to put a council room on it. They only intended the smaller type library.
I don't remember.
But that the council asked for that extra space.
I'd hate to put that down. That is really correct, because I don't recall. It's surprising how many things you can forget in that length of time.
That's true.
Council, back of the council room, what was used then as the council room, was a storage vault, quite a large one, which was used for storing of papers from the library and books which they didn't want to keep out, and also for the village papers were stored in there too. There were two restrooms in the building, one on the council room side and one off of the workshop or workroom back of the library proper. Now, the committees, I think we should make note of the committees at that time. This was planned late in 1955. In fact, I think it was in July that the Pete family offered the library. And in the fall, either October or November, and I can't remember which month, they were moved in. But they chose a day when the Rotary Club met at the community center, and after their meeting, the Rotary Club members helped us move into the library, move the books in. So that by that night, we had all of our books into the new part, in boxes, not on the floor, but still all in.
Where did you move from?
From the community center, Pete Community Center. Now, this was the Building and Planning Committee for the library. I don't recall how it was appointed, but it came about, it was a nucleus of people interested. Douglas Pete and Bill Morse from the Chamber of Commerce were co-chairmen. Dr. Floyd Burlingame was a representative of the village. Jay Liner, who I believe was township supervisor at the time, was also on that committee, Reverend Alan Gray and Bernice Pete from the Library Board of Trustees. Now, they had another committee appointed, which they called the Interior Library Planning Committee. This other one was just the structure itself, but there was a lot to do after the building was put up to get it ready to move in and use as a library. And these were the members of that committee: Mabel Babian, Harry Robinette, who's librarian at that time, Kareem Vrabel, Ruth Morris, Adeline Parshall, and Bernice Pete. Every one of the people on this library had been working for years and years in the interest of the library. And it was with a lot of excitement that we planned for moving in. Now, I should say a little bit about the furnishings of the library at that time. We were able to purchase Woodard furniture at almost cost through Phil Grable, who lived here in Chesning at that time and worked for Woodard's. So we had some real nice furniture to begin with. Our draperies were quite outstanding, black and white in a large pattern, which made the place real cheerful and modern to fit in with the furniture. And the drapery material was purchased from Woodard's, and then Elmer Beebe, who lived here at that time, made the drapes for us for no charge at all. It was surprising how much volunteer work has gone into the making of our library here. Thousands and thousands of hours, and probably thousands and thousands of dollars that it would be impossible to even mention at all. At that time, when we moved in, I should say too, we had room to spare. We couldn't begin to fill the shelves that we had made for that library. We were so thrilled, and we thought, well, surely this will do us for many, many years, and we can have all the books we want. It's hard to realize that now we're so cramped for space and just don't know where to turn to next. Now, the dedication didn't occur until May of the following year, 1956. It was set up for a Sunday afternoon so that people from all over the state could attend, and invitations had gone out to libraries all over, librarians and people interested in it, to the state library, and we had a good attendance from all over.
What actual year is that now?
That's 1956. I looked up the date. The date wasn't in the paper, but my mother had the date down, actual date of the dedication, which was May 20th. Now, Reverend Young Gray, who was on the Board of Trustees at that time, might have been chairman, I don't recall, was master of ceremonies for the program. We had a little program, and Mrs. Lolita Fian, who was state librarian at that time, gave the real official speech for the program. We had local officials attending, and to finish the program off, Douglas Pete presented the deed to the library to Harold Schultz, the village president, so that actually the village owns the building of the library and the land on which it is built. Also, we had at that time a flag presented to us as part of the program by our American Legion post here in Chesning. And I can't recall just who presented the flag at that time. Afterwards, people could look the building over, and we had tea and coffee and cookies and a nice visit. We all felt that it was pretty well attended and something that we would all... I think pictures were taken at that time, too, and put in the paper. Now, Fly Robinette was librarian at the time we moved, and she had her hands full with volunteer help to get the... And most of the volunteer help were people from the study club and the Board of Trustees, to get the books onto the shelves and arranged. At that time, we did not have the Dewey Decimal System. But we arranged fiction according to authors, as we do now, and I presume our reference library was very small compared to what it is at the present time. I think this would be a good place to go say a little bit about the library system, which has evolved since we moved into that new building. In fact, not too many years later, in November of 1960, which would be 4 years later, our library, along with many, many smaller libraries, were having a dreadful time to stay above board financially, even to keep open and pay for our librarian and to buy books. We just did not have very much money. That year of 1960, late in the fall, Mr. Tanner was director of the public library system in Saginaw. Notified us that we would be eligible for part of getting some federal money into this county if we would set up a system with contracts between the smaller libraries and Saginaw Public Libraries. Now, this he had applied for the grant, but it was up to us to sort of coordinate it and bring. I guess we had to qualify according to certain things to receive this money and get some good of it. There was only $3,000 in cash, which didn't leave any actual money to spend, hardly, except for the expenses of getting back and forth and perhaps, I guess, some staff expense. But there were $24,000 worth of books shipped in to the Saginaw Public Library as the central location for a book pool. Now, this meant that the libraries which took part in this, which at the time were Merrill, St. Charles, and Chesney, would have access to this book pool and could have on their shelves a share of it at all times of the year. The books were changed every so many months so that we would have a chance at all the books in the book pool. Well, we immediately jumped at the chance to have the advantage of more books. We paid a certain per capita tax, which I don't recall. It was very little. It meant a lot to us.
I think it was 10 cents.
Per capita?
Would that be too high?
Yes, I think that's too high, Helen. it was very little. But we scrounged. We got that money because it gave us such a terrific advantage. Besides that, we had help from the Saginaw Public Libraries in many other ways, you know. They'd answer our questions. We worked as a unit, you might say. Well, and they called it the Saginaw County Library System.
As I remember that time, your library card was good in any of these libraries, and their cards were good in ours.
At the time the book pool was set up, we could reciprocate with any library which was in it, which was Merrill, St. Charles, and Chesney. And there was no difference. We could use them. Not at that time.
Oh, I see.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, very shortly before the end. Now, it was spring of 61 before we actually got going, because we had to have some meetings. Many boards of trustees in these libraries were afraid they'd lose their autonomy in going into it. And it took some real work to finally come out with cooperation from every library. Freeland shortly joined after that because they have no library, and they had a very small library. I don't remember just when they came in. Hemrock did not come in with us at once. I believe they came in the second year. They could see the advantages because this did work after 1 year of experiencing the advantages of all working together. It showed up when we evaluated it at the end of the year. Now, we had to have contracts with the Saginaw Public Library for this. Dorothy Fell, do you remember her? She was a librarian in the Saginaw Public Libraries. And Mr. Tanner assigned her to take charge of this system. And she organized us, you might say. She even came to Chesning and helped us, I forget the term they use for weeding out the old books. There is a librarian's term for that. We didn't know how to do it. We couldn't judge what should be on our shelves and what shouldn't be. She came down and did the entire library herself. It was quite surprising, you know, the way she could help us. The second year, we received, the system received $6,950 and 10,000 more books for the pool. And this really sort of, well, they had to be out in the library, so Saginaw Public Library didn't have room for all those books, so we had to keep them in circulation. Of course, that was the purpose of it anyway. So that, in turn, made it necessary for us to build some new shelving, which we could do. We had plenty of room at that time to put it in. Now, as I say, by that time, Hemlock was in with us. I think they came in the second year. Now, the third year was the year that Saginaw Public Libraries offered the use of their library to any card holder in the entire county. And so that was a great advantage to us. The cost of a card at the Saginaw Public Libraries for anyone not living in the city was $10 per person. And this was really quite a thing for those people in the outlying townships who did use the Saginaw Public Library. It was a saving, and it also stimulated use of the library. Now, this was in 1964. This took us through to that time. I might add that this federal grant, which was to run for 3 years and ended in 1964, was given to us for the purpose of stimulating a system whereby we could maintain ourselves. And it certainly did that very purpose, because by that time nobody was going to give up the library service, which had been worked out up until that time. I think that was the year that it was decided through a court case, I think in Belding, Michigan, that libraries should be receiving penal fine money according to law. For years, all the penal fine money had gone to law libraries in the counties. And this particular year, there was this decision made, and also, I think there was a bill passed legislature at Lansing that a system of county libraries be set up where there were none. Well, Saginaw County did not have a county library board, and we couldn't set up a county library without at that time, Board of Supervisors, it was called, without their help and without their consent, and I believe without the vote of the people. However, the county library board was appointed by the commissioners. And I think they had one from each part of the county, so that it was pretty well represented. I know I represented Chesning Township Library, and the other libraries were represented as well. even Frankenmuth, and they weren't in our system at all because they were independent and they hadn't gone into the county system. Now, due to this change and receiving penal fine money, we had to make contracts. Each small library, and this applied to Chesning as well, we had to have contracts with the township boards of each township that we served, which meant that we went to each township board. Now this took, Helen, you went with me a good many times.
Yes, I did.
And went to board meetings, and we visited officials from the township boards and talked with them. And eventually, we did have contracts with Brady, with Aubie. What's the township out by
Chapin?
Chapin, yes.
But not and Maple Grove.
No, we couldn't sign a contract with Maple Grove. That is, they didn't want to be included in it. So, and of course, Chesning Township was included in this. But we had contracts with them that they would turn their penal fine money over to the Chesning Public Library and in turn would receive our services. Now, for this first year that it was begun, we only got their penal fine money. We didn't get any extra money. We were supposed to work up to 3/10 of a mil from each township. That was in order to receive state aid, which was one of the qualifications at that time. But we did receive, it was quite a thing. I don't recall that first year how much penal fine money Chesning Library got. Maple Grove was included in with us, but the County Library Board had to make a contract with their board to take their money, their penal fine money, and give to Chesning Library. That's the way we got around it. So
Maple Grove
did get service. But we only got their penal fine money. We never got anything more from them.
They would not sign a contract with Chesney.
They would not sign a contract with Chesney. But they signed a contract with the county board. So that eventually was worked out in that way. Now, as the years progressed, and the state qualifications for state aid became a little greater each year, we had to go out and get extra money from these townships in order to bring it up to 3/10 of a mil from each township, because penal fine money didn't amount to that much. Well, all the townships pretty well took care of that for us, except Maple Grove. We never did get any more from them. Now, we thought we were on a third of a mil. It had been so long since we voted that millage from the township. I can't recall when the early years we did that. It must have been in the 1940s sometime, early 1940s.
That would be in your mother's
yes,
report.
Yes, I'm sure it is. I didn't, she perhaps told the date of that. We found out later it was just a quarter of a mil. It was 0.025 mils that we were getting. And we realized that we just had to get more money. So by 1970, which was 6 years later, after we started receiving the penal fine monies, by 1970, it was judged that it would be a good time to put it on the ballot in Chesning Township to ask for a complete one mil, which would maintain the library. Previous to that time, you know, Helen, we had closed down on ours. We didn't qualify for state aid 1 year because we weren't open enough hours. We didn't buy enough books. We didn't serve the people. The people who were coming in didn't pay us enough money, you know, to qualify us. We were in a really bad way, a bad bind. And I'm sure we cut off services from some of the townships, because I saw a letter the other day that had been sent out from the Library Board of Trustees notifying these townships that they'd have to pay a fee of, I think, $2.50 for a library card if they wanted to continue. Mm-hmm. I don't recall that year, but it must have been shortly before 1970.
Well, it's somewhere in here. I don't know just what my, what the years were that I was on the board.
Well, you were on the board when we went into the system. You had just newly come on. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
When we started the Saginaw County system, which would be in 1960, you might have gone on that year.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, I don't think so, because we moved back in 1960. It must have been 1961.
Oh, maybe 61 then.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somewhere in there, the council moved out of the library because the library needed the space. And when the council moved out of the library, cut off the telephone, and the library was forced and had many more expenses than it ever had before.
That's right.
They had they had to take care of everything completely. While the council was in the library, the library did not have to take care of the lights or the furnace or the telephone. But as soon as the council left in a little bit of a huff, and so they immediately put all of that onto the library board, which made a great deal more expense. And I remember that along in that time was the time when they called in consumers, and consumers told them that one way they cut down would be to change their lighting. So they took out all the old lights and put in the new type fluorescent lights in order to save money. And that was one reason why they were so short of money.
That's very true. Now, this took place in 1966, and it was really brought about by the settling of the building the previous year. All of a sudden, well, it was gradual, but suddenly it became crucial, let's say. The building settled so that you could actually feel a downward slope,
mm-hmm.
yes, to the floor, and great cracks appeared in the northwest corner of the building. And in fact, I think it rained in through some. I remember seeing a picture of the girls drying out the material in the vault, which got wet. It was really quite serious. And the village talked about it in 1965 in the fall. It was discussed at their meetings what they would do, but they didn't take any action until 1966 when the Pete family offered to pay for the repairs, which had to be done, and the village council moved out that year and gave us the extra. The building was repaired. What they did, I don't recall. Probably the record is someplace at the library, jacked up and the cracks filled. I believe it was newly painted inside and refurbished as far as the foundation was concerned. What had caused it was the settling of the ground. Apparently, before the library was built, no testing was done as to the soil underneath. And the village council moved out that year, and Pete's reimbursed the village for the cost of the repair work, and it was turned completely over to the library.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a picture at the library showing them going into the new building. It seemed awfully bare then. Yes, that was in it was 4 years later that we put this to a vote. Each year, something crucial would come up in the community, and we didn't think it was a good time to ask for a whole mill for the library, but. Our services were so cut down, our expenses were so great, that it had to be then or we'd practically fold up. There isn't any use of having a library if it can't give you services.
But it did pass, didn't it?
It passed. And all the people of the community showed it passed with a goodly amount of votes. So it showed that the people of this community did want their library service and appreciated it. This brings us to the present time. Now, in 1970,